You may be seated. All right, let's move forward as we get back into the progression of our exposition. And our major document, everybody repeat after me, scripture distinctions. Actualization by God's decree in eternity. Manifestation in time. And then of course we had moved to part three. Everybody repeat after me, called joining faith to free will. Inevitably induces futility. Now we have been out for a little while, and we thank God for all of those that pray for us. And I want you to go to page 65. Elder Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 20, we're going to just touch on that. Basically, I want to focus a few verses above that. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 16. So let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. As Paul writes to his son in the gospel, Timothy, there are many golden nuggets. In his instructions and advice to Timothy, in chapter 6, speaks of the servants, and masters, and yet actually what he's focusing on there, contrastingly from what some have illegally used this passage for, is your service to the Lord and the essence of what service to God imbues. And basically he tells him what to do and what not to do. And basically he tells him where to focus and where not to focus. What to prioritize and what not to prioritize. He focuses on the venue, the earthly versus the heavenly, the physical versus the spiritual. And while we enjoy and we engage that which is physical, we know that ultimately all physicality is temporary. It's temporal. All physicality. And so he says, don't get caught up in it's above food and the regular things that you need while you sojourn and move through life. Other than that, you be content with those things and don't get caught up in that which you're not going to be able to hold on to anyway. I'm just cutting it short. And this is why, as he leads into money and et cetera, et cetera, so forth. And then in verse 11, he says, but you should follow after what our focus should be on. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love. Isn't that strange? The Bible is focusing us one place, and our affections have a tendency to dwell on others. Then he talks about fighting the good fight of faith, eternal life, speaks upon what a good profession really is. Oh my God. And then in verse 14 he said, keep this, And the reason why he says this is because there's a whole lot of things you can keep. And in writing to Timothy, he understood what Timothy's background was, and basically that he was exposed to the law and possibly also to the kingdom message. And so he says this, he's focusing on the grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant.
Grace covenant.
Now, down in verse 20, he speaks of for Timothy to guard all of this, which we think alluded last time, dealing with that word guard, which is really parathekin, which is literally translate deposit. Guard the deposit. Guard the deposit. Guard the deposit. Deposit. What is placed beside. In this case, he's not talking about anything physical. So parathekin, that deposit, is what's in your contract. God has a contract with you. Listen to me this morning. It is called the grace covenant. And if you ever get into your contract and see the glorious blessings and benefits that transcend all the things that are around you, no contract nowhere can come close to this contract.
Amen.
Not even the contract he made with Israel.
Amen.
The Mosaic of the New Covenant.
Amen.
That is, it's glorious, but as Paul writes to the Corinthians, there's something even more glorious than what Moses saw.
Amen.
And also more glorious than what was conveyed to the disciples. This is why we don't try to claim any of Abraham's blessings.
Amen.
Oh, they're great. They're glorious. But God has given us more. Can you say more?
More.
Can you say more?
More?
Give God a hand for our contract. The grace covenant. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read a couple of paragraphs, page 65, everybody got it. Now, there are some in the back, the sections, not the entire document. Table of contents, part 3. I want everyone, raise your hand if you don't, the ushers get it to you. I want everybody to have a copy of this. Table of contents, part 3. Everyone. Everybody on the same page. Now, we are going to continue to focus on this teaching. Because there are so many things out there that's happening from day to day. Until you need some foundation and some focus. Something that you can rely on. Something that you can rest in. And I submit to you that there's nothing around you in the sphere of physicality that you can rely upon.
Amen.
And trust in. And just because you see things as you watch the news, or you listen to the news, as you do in my case, mostly through the internet that I get the news, you read it. That doesn't become the defining aspect of what you see.
Amen.
That's the difference between seeing physically and seeing, and what, because what you see physically, the physical is seen is temporary. It changes from day to day. This is why we only put so much credence, not too much, in politics. No matter who's in the White House. There are some people mad at Obama this morning because a year ago he promised them some things and it hasn't happened. Well, it is not based upon the essence of those who are just like you. They're physical. They're men. They only have the capacity of men. And it is not men who are to be dependent upon. Your stability and the essence of your life, if you're going to choose a matrix, it must be God, not mankind. This is why in this section, again, repeat after me, co-joining faith to free will. Ineligibly induces futility. Faith, now, free will is a viable dependence. None of it is dependable. There is no such thing. It's not a viable entity. Faith needs the free will. What's left out of the equation is purpose. And just because we don't understand what God is doing, and we can't comprehend eternal purpose, eternal will, eternal testimony, sometimes we think God has left us.
Come on, Pastor. Amen.
And this is why our contract, you need to, you start to feel it low, take out your contract and read
it. Right.
He's more than just with us. He's in us.
Yes.
And more importantly, we're in him.
Yeah. Thank God.
On page 65. Let's go up another second paragraph. You got it? Where it says faith and free will.
Amen.
Everybody got it? Amen.
Amen.
Faith and free will are both void of any dominating extraterrestrial personality. And in a sense, are randomly and independently applied to each thought and consequent action. If faith is applied to a single thought, then the original cause of that thought is some indiscriminate external force. That's not the matrix you want. The thought that non-deified entities can exert determination through human free will as applied to thoughts exudes that there is no external force involved except the individuals as the incepted causes. Concepts of free will correctly construe that all thoughts and consequent actions originate in some external force, not in humans. Individuals have no ability to affect reality as some discriminating force determining reality through them. Also, by the same like indicium or insigma indication, no actions of non-consciousness are applicable in any meaningful sense of some indiscriminating external force as the initial source of thoughts and actions. Concepts of free will do in fact correctly view assumptions of responsibilities in the design of the humanly depraved nature exuding wicked thoughts and actions. But this is only in the sense that of all things having been predeterminately aside. The confusion of so-called free will resides in the Imagine human capacity to exert correct thoughts and actions, and therefore directly affect the reality that surrounds search. An individual's consciousness has meaning simply as processes, listen, and complementary affectations in reality. The concept of fate correctly exerts no human responsibility in regards to implying human capability, because existence does not evolve from things or individuals. Neither thoughts nor actions originate in humans or in some indiscriminating external force. External forces of fate cannot create or govern any thought or person. Therefore, fate cannot really exist as a force entity. Likewise, terrestrial earthly forces of free will cannot create or govern any thoughts or actions. Therefore, human free will cannot actually exert forces as an entity. If you do not get through this through your spirit, you are to get out there and you're going to get so frustrated. Because you have focused as if you have an agenda.
All right, come on now.
You don't have an agenda.
Nope.
I don't have an agenda. We don't have an agenda. You know who has the agenda? God has the agenda. We only have imagined what?
Itineraries.
That change from day to day and even hour to hour and in some cases moment to moment.
Yes.
And I said to you this morning, please don't get frustrated with God's agenda because you don't understand what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know this example of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm paraphrasing, Father, I would rather not go there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. But however what?
Not my will.
What?
Your
will. You know. Oh, we sing songs. I go where you want me to go. I do what you want me to do. You're not serious. You absolutely not serious. Basically, you said, no, Lord, no. Please. Amen. Now, basically what we focus on is what we call life. Immortality versus mortality. I want you to take your Bibles and let's back up to that 16th verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 16. We're going to go into a little didactic mode. Now, don't anyone go nuts on me. You cannot adequately explicate or explain that which you have not adequately exegeted. To know what is actually said before we talk about what it's saying. All right, brother, you can read that 16th verse. Everyone's got 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, do the King James verse for comparison.
We're reading 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
Okay, now, you see, we're forced to go to the Greek. And we're forced to exegete. Because even when he reads what's there in the Greek interlineal, there are some nuggets there that are yet to be dug out. read from the interlinear very slowly. Now, if you don't have the interlinear, just follow along.
1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, interlinear Greek text. The only having immortality, light inhabiting.
Yes, I see that. You see that little asterisk he's got there? You know why he's got that there? It's there because he knows. He knows that he's violating something there, either in the grammar or in the context. It reads, "Oh, moros ekon athonosias phos ekon." Listen to this. Aproseton. Now, the pastor, why you did this message goes on the website. It goes, how do I know? It goes all over. How do I know? Because I get communications. And some of this, what we're getting ready to say here, is different. First of all, it starts out with the definite article, which could be the, except when we look at the declension of it, it goes back in the previous verse of God, of Paul speaking about someone, namely Jesus, in the previous verse. So here we translate this, who? It is followed by the pronoun monos, translated only. Who only? Now we're going to talk about something concerning our Lord that can only be said about him. Outside of God, this is nonsense. Is. We have a participle there. What is the participle? It's a verb adjective. What does an adjective do?
Scribe.
So here you got an actual word that describes. So what is he? The noun. Athanasios. Which is in the accusative case, what is that?
Rec
object. So he's saying exactly what he is. Immortality. Mortal means what? Death. So when you say immortal, what are you talking about? The opposite of death, which is what? Life. Now this is important as we move forth, because the next word, the noun force there, means light. But then here's what I want to dwell on here. Follow me here. Nobody lose me now. Econ, we have a participle there, and he put that on asterisk there because he said inhibiting, but that's not what Paul was saying. It reads false econ apositum, which is translated light dwelling unapproachable. Every last one of these, the noun, the participle, which is a verb adjective, and the adjective, which is unapproachable, is in the accusative case. And more than that, the participle dwelling is in the active voice. What is active voice? That's when the subject. And what's the subject? We go back to the beginning of the verse, and we notice that everything above there, when he says, who only has, basically You see, it's all in the nominative case. What is the nominative case? It's a subject. So the subject is Christ. Y'all follow me here now. You're going to miss something. So we're talking about Christ, and we're talking about Christ, and we're talking about light. We'll get to the participle if it's in the active voice. We can't be saying that Christ is dwelling in light. Because he would be, oh my God, would be just the verbal incarnation of what's there, the light. But he's the active voice. He is the light. So light, he doesn't dwell in light. He is the light that should not be inhabiting. Basically, that should be the plan. He supplies the light. He is the light. Old Testament, there are many testimonies. He's the light. You know, we sing the song, he is the light of the world. Then when they translate this, they're like, he's dwelling in the light. The supply of light, and without him, there would be no light in the world. He is the light. We get back to this thing we'll be talking about in the conference, the matrix. That's the source. He is the source. He is the essence. Him. Without him, there is no light. So he doesn't inhibit light. He is the habitator of light. He is the supplier of light. Basically, it says how. We got an adjective there. Unapproachable. That means without contention. Without controversy. Without competition. Unquestionably. He is the light. Then it goes on there. I'll keep reading.
Unapproachable, whom saw no one of men, nor to see.
Now, let's see, I'm in the King James, he said, dwelling in the light. Like you've got something there, and then he's. That's not in the dative case. So it wouldn't be locative. Actively, he actively is the light. He is life. He is everything. He is. Someone was, I think it was on television, the History Channel. Yes, one of those channels of Discovery or something, talking about heaven. Every once in a while, they take a stab at it. You know, and they were talking about going through the scriptures, and this is what is taught in the scripture about it in the Christian faith. And they had the New Jerusalem coming out of heaven and calling it heaven. Some of them were then described heaven. It's not necessary.
All right.
So why? Because anything that comes out of him would be less than him as far as creation is concerned. If you're in the Creator, that is more than anything that he would ever create.
More, much more. Much, yes.
It's enough to say in him.
Yes.
Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
So in the heavens, according to our contract, is in Christ. Which is more.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the 12 gates, and they had the streets, the gold, and how this, and all of that is glorious.
Mm-hmm.
But you are in Christ.
In Christ. Amen. Yes.
Given the nature of God.
Yeah.
And we thank God for those inhabitants of that city.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes beyond that.
Beyond.
I know that's tough for some of us because we like to, we want to see something. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. When we wake up in glory,
yes.
Each one of us as we're taken out of here.
Yes.
Absent from the body, what?
Present.
Present with the Lord. Oh, you have more. You can't imagine what God is waiting for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Man.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank God.
Oh,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And no one who is in Christ, could you even talk about convincing them to come back and get in the body again? This body.
No way.
Say it again. In Christ.
In Christ.
So he is the habitation. He is the light. He is the source. He is the supply.
Amen.
Unquestionably.
Amen.
That's what he's saying there. And then it reads, on Ephing, Ophis, upon Ophe Ephing. So that's why you say that. Because if you go to the Greek, we're getting ready to go outside what the translation is saying.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt, undoubtedly, there's some Greek scholar listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what it said again, all whom, anything, it is a verb, it is an indicative mood, it's in the aorist tense, and you want to turn it back to light, it is the verb translated visible, a see, amen. And here we have the indicative mood in the aorist tense. And basically, we're talking about a complete action. Basically saying what has been seen or what has been visualized. Again, it comes back. Off is no one or no land. Neither nor. Anything. Thinate. That is able to see what God has visualized.
Oh, glory.
Pastor, you're way out there. No. Here, he was trying to get him to focus away from the things that are around us.
For real. Amen.
Oh. If there's something bad and there's something good,
mm-hmm.
and you have the choice of looking at something bad or looking at something good, should be a no-brainer, shouldn't it? No, it should, huh? Paul is saying, basically, the things that are on you, that are facing you, that are bugging you, that are troubling you, amen, set up for you, that exciting, that's glorious, and good, we're talking about the light. Man, you crazy, that thing about to come down on me. Not really.
Right.
In fact, if you're going to look at the bad, look at all of it. There's an asteroid heading toward the earth.
Hallelujah.
Global warming and climate changes.
Mm-hmm.
You notice when that 3 feet of snow was dumped on Washington, and up in the east there. Let's just take Washington for example. Now you notice the jet stream, basically the weather flows from what? From west to east.
Right.
What was happening in that case is the weather flow was flowing from east to west. And what happens is the waters in the Atlantic, it goes up to the Arctic. And supposedly it is cold and it flows back down into the ocean. But because the earth is warming and the Arctic's are melting, when it goes up to the Arctic, it's nothing to cool it. And so when it comes back down into the ocean, it's warm. You know, the old El Nino effect. What happens to water when it gets hot? It boils, it vaporizes, and it begins to rumble in the pot, right? And that was the cause of the weather. It was coming out of the ocean. But how did it get to Washington? That's 100 miles away there. You have the Chesapeake Bay that flows into the Atlantic Ocean. And the Potomac River that flows where? To Chesapeake Bay. And so you had a backup there, but what kind of helped them out? The cold weather helped them out. It helped them out. Because it all turned into 3 feet of snow. Can you imagine how much rain that would have been?
Amen.
You would have had a tsunami backing up through the Chesapeake Bay into the Potomac River, and now Washington is underwater. I mean, if you want to look at some bad, you got to look at something worse than your bills being behind. Just if you know. But what he said, regardless of all of that going on out there,
amen. Come on.
Don't get caught up in that.
Hallelujah.
The fact that you're sick, the fact that you got this problem or that problem or the other. What he's saying there is, look at the good thing. Look at the light. Look at your contract. Oh, hallelujah. And see the glorious blessing that God has in store for you. And rejoice in the God of your salvation rather than looking at things.
Hallelujah.
That's only there for testimony of purpose. Oh my God, look at that clock. One of these days y'all let me preach about 3 or 4 hours and then we don't have to worry about the clock. I love those looks. Let's go to the top of page 67. Where it says it is vitally important. You got that? Take these things and read them and study them. Someone said, you got to study it. Well, study it then. See, you don't get all beat up by things that's happening.
Amen.
It is vitally important to clearly define scripture-wise what the primary goal in this life actually exhibits. One's desire to live arbitrarily long lengths of time does not in the least sense constitute immortality.
Amen.
What many do not want to come to grips with conscientiously is the scripture's declaration of everything actualized in the eternal sphere, and from that vantage point having already been determined. It is this conveyance of reality that is thoroughly repulsed by those that are more or less unwilling to accept the fact that one day that they will die. Talk about physical death here. Or we will transition from the vantage point of the earth to the physical temporary sphere. This is not your home. Everybody say, this is not my home.
This is not my home.
Realizing this particular reality is uniquely confined to scripturally informed thinking or cogitation.
Amen.
For the most part, God's people simply cannot deal with spirituality and are necessarily afraid of death in this sense, though they shouldn't really be. Spiritual comprehension of actualization simply exudes continued consciousness, but not in more or less in a physical form, though such seems infinitely preferable to complete non-existence. In other sense, absolute immortality is more or less impossible in the sphere of physicality. At some point, whether you like it or not, the universe is either going to expand so much that the particles in all of physicality disassociates or condensed back into a single so-called pre-Big Bang point and is dissolved or destroyed in terminating processes. How many times does our contract have to remind of this? Also, it must be scripturally understood that it is not a matter of one's efforts, luck, or chance, that one will not die as a result of an accident. For instance, is it a random act when an automobile is involved in a fatal crash, a jet plane falls off of a jet engine, that is, falls off of an airplane during flight? Listen, neither fate nor free will is a reliable component for chartering what abides in one's travel through the manifestation of space-time. Everybody said purpose. Make sure you've got that in the matrix. Strictly from this view, there are merely contemplations for these types of things to manifest, as it is increasingly clear that such are not plausible of consideration in the sense of fate, arguably free will. In assessing longevity, 80 or more years are not nearly enough to depict such as immortality, even 100 years, 150 years. Though most would ascribe to prolonged life, which is fine, as much as such as possible. I want you to turn over. Oh, my God. We'll pick this up next week. Go down to the next page 68 there, where it starts, it says mental snapshots. I want to get that in today. Almost out of gas in a way. Energy. Everybody got this? Amen.
Amen.
Mental snapshots inevitably induce problems in the sense of their unreliability in adequately defining or measuring manifestation fields, because they simply copy perceptions that may at times be flawed. What are you saying here, Pastor? The reason we're not looking at the things that are seen is because you may be looking at something, it blows your mind, and it wasn't even the essence of it. How many times did we look at what we think is almost impending doom, and it doesn't happen? Doesn't happen that way. So, well, you know, the asteroid, I got an article that said a few years back, the asteroid missed the Earth by so many nothing. It couldn't have hit the Earth.
Amen.
Right now, Russia is trying to get some of the other nations down. They've got concocted some plan to go up and hit the asteroid. Do y'all know an asteroid is supposed to be heading toward the Earth? No, I guess not, because you don't get that kind of information on American Idol. Other soaps.
Amen.
Sitcoms. They've concocted a plan, and they're trying to get other nations to go up, send a satellite up with enough thrust to knock it off course. So to miss the earth. Right now, if they said, it's close and it's going to hit us, some people would have heart attacks or die just thinking about it. Frustrated, some people wouldn't be sleeping at night. And I guess I'll always be talking about the testimony of Mother Johnson, Goodloe Johnson. Saying that they're about to have a massive procedure. And just as calm, and all the vitals and said, Mother, you're mighty calm. Mm-hmm. Pastor, didn't you tell us already happened? Mm-hmm. I said, yes, ma'am. Why should I be sitting here worried about something already happened? Mm-hmm. If that thing is actualized,
amen.
Whether it's hit or not, here we have what you call a subjective iris. There's a probability, and that's only in the essence that you don't know at that point in Revelation. But the iris tears, if it's a completed action, oh my God, what are you worried about something that has already happened? I said, Pastor, you're talking crazy. No, I'm not. You want to walk around here every day, all stressed out, worried about everything, in doubt. Mm-hmm. If that's the way you want to live your life,
yes,
God help you. Because you've got a contract.
Amen.
Everybody say, I've got a contract.
I've got a contract. Hallelujah.
And in it, I'm safe and I'm secure.
Amen. Thank God.
From all along.
Oh, glory.
Look at this. Give me about 5 more minutes. Human depictions of perceptions do not distinguish accurate conceptualizations and actualizations. As such, are distinguished in manifestation of testimonial renderings. Distortions of actualization, distortions of them, are inherent in flawed human comprehensions of working in the enactment and residency of things in the sphere of time rather than eternity. What is observed? At any given instance, whatever that thing is, should never be construed independently from its eternal identity in God's decree. Not what is this what? What is this for? God's purpose in it. Paul writes to the priest, he's not giving us the spirit of folly, of fear, but what? A power. A what? Of love. Sound thinking. What are you talking about? The above things, not as what is being seen. We don't control that. But we have a contract. And we don't worry about that which we are safe from. What is observed that any instance should never be construed in the pillar of its eternal identity in God's decree. In this view, we end with this today, growing old and dying. Pastor, why do we have to talk about it? Some people are so skittish about that subject. Yet we continue going to funerals, aren't we?
Amen.
Some of us want to stick our head in the sand like being an ostrich,
right,
or something.
Right.
And the ministry that wants to pack the place, they don't talk about stuff like this.
Nope.
5 ways how to do something. How to get your stuff back from the devil. In this view, growing old and then dying are not events that should ever be, that one should ever be seeking to avoid. Or should it be run to the cliff and jump? No. Just like everything else, that these are events that have already occurred. You are safe. You just abide, because that's not really what you're looking at anyway. Contrary to the facts that such are ordained abiding conclusions of existence. I think I'll read that again. Growing old and dying are not events that one should ever be seeking to avoid, contrary to the facts that such are ordained abiding conclusions of existence. Not if we die,
no.
When we die. Not if it manifests, when it manifests. Inevitably, life forever as viewed on earth and time is merely the order of the temporary depiction of transitional functions which are completely artificial when such are compared with eternal objects. Oh my God. I have something that I've finished. In fact, the pastor's pen today was the first of it. Compared eternal and temporal objects or things. It depends upon what you're looking at. As to whether you're safe or not. Oh, we sing the song.
Yes.
What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on everlasting arms. While we're leaning on the flesh. While we're leaning on physicality.
Amen.
But if we look past the essence of what we see versus the essence of what we really see by faith versus then by sight, we can sing that song. What a blessedness! What a peace of mind! Leaning on the everlasting arms! Safe! Everybody say safe! Say safe! Say if you believe it's safe! Secure! But I can't see it because I'm tied up with physicality. And physicality is burning me to the reality of what is actualized in the essence of what is seen through the eyes of faith. Oh, give them a praise.